This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
So the title of the message this morning is Lost Ones. Someone say Lost Ones. And I'm believing that by the end of this, man, we are going to be so stirred to go share our faith and invite somebody to this Thursday night. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak through me now. Minister to each person. God, you know every situation. You know every circumstance. God, you know everybody. I thank you for your anointing that destroys every yoke and removes every burden. God, you know every person, every situation, every heart, and how they've come in this morning. And Father, I ask you to bring healing. I ask you to bring your presence in greater measure to them. Minister to every need that we would leave. God, I thank you for deliverance today. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for healing today by your Spirit. And God, we'll be careful. Thank you for answers, God, and solutions to problems this morning, because your anointing destroys every yoke and removes every burden in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, sis. Wow. So, guys, thanks for being here. Remember, Brother Hagin used to always say this. He says, if you want the Word of God to work for you, how many of you want God's Word to work for you? Come on. He said, if you want the Word of God to work for you, you got to get excited about the Word. So you got to be excited about it, man. You got to believe, my God, this is God talking to me. I'm going to be changed. Right now while I'm preaching, we get so many testimonies while people are preaching, and other men of God, while they're preaching, people are being healed. People are being delivered. People are being set free in their seat, because the Bible says he sent his word and he healed them. So right now while I'm preaching, you might as well get an expectation, because God can do it right now. Come on, if you believe that, say yes. That is absolutely the truth. And so here we go. Remember that Jesus, he was preaching in the house, and the Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal them while Jesus was preaching. And so the Word of God is powerful, and it'll meet your need. So have that switch of faith turned on this morning. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, and it says, for the Son of Man, someone say Jesus. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. So the heart of God above everything else is to seek and to save those who are lost, those who do not know Jesus, those who are not saved. God says, my primary heart. How many of you love God in here? Make some noise. Come on, somebody. If we love God, then we need to love what God loves. And we need to bleed for what God bleeds for. And God's heart above everything else is about lost people who are on their way to hell, that somebody would tell them about the saving grace of Jesus. Somebody would invite them to church to where they can receive the saving grace of Jesus, because his heart bleeds for that more than it bleeds for anything else. The heart of God above everything else. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And church, here's what I found out. When I get with his agenda, he'll take care of what concerns me. That's why the Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. The Bible says, I feel the anointing already. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Quit chasing the desires of your heart and start chasing, start delighting yourself in him. Amen. When you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And so, and listen, I'm telling you, how do you delight yourself in the Lord? One way you got to do that, we got to have a heart for lost people. Somebody say amen. Yes, sir. So why? Why does God's heart bleed? Because, people who don't know Jesus, hell was not created for people. Hell was created for Satan and the fallen angels. Third of the angels followed Satan out. They got kicked out of heaven. And hell was created for them, that they'll be there eternity in damnation and in flames, where the Bible says the flame is not quenched and the worm never dies. It's a horrible place. It's a place of judgment. It's a place of eternal punishment. But it was not created for you, for me, or anybody on the street. It was created for the devil and his angels. And I'm just telling you, we got to get tired of seeing people die and go to hell. Come on, somebody. And so, listen, so the reason he's so concerned about it is because he doesn't want anybody to go there, and he sent his only son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus, God sent his best. Hallelujah. I said God sent his best. I said God sent his best. He didn't send Come on, he didn't send an angel. He didn't send a prophet. He sent the Holy Lamb of God. He sent the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Come on, he is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He's Jehovah Shammah, ever present. He's Jehovah Rapha, your healer. He's Jehovah Jireh, your shepherd. He's Jehovah Shalom, your peace. God said, I'm not going to send somebody that can't meet every need. I'm going to send the one who can meet every need. And come on, if he sent his Son, will he not also with his Son freely give us all things? Hallelujah. He sent Jesus to die so that we wouldn't have to die and go to hell. And I'm ready to tell somebody about it. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever lost your phone? My God. Everything in life stops until you can find your phone. Because you just have to get on Instagram and find out what's going on. God, like, I got to get on Instagram and get my followers up. I got to get my followers up. Right? Do I have some likes? I just posted a picture. Nobody likes. I don't like you either. Click unfollow. Right? Somebody makes a rude comment. Oh, click hashtag blocked. You know what I'm saying? Like. Right? You gotta do it. I mean, you gotta get on Twitter. You can't lose all your contacts, all your downloads, all your worship music, all your club music. I'm just playing. Don't be backing that thing up no more. You're saved now. Come on, you can't be backing that thing up, man. You can't be doing that. You can't be doing that no more. Come on, somebody. Someone talk about, I'm saved, but I'm almost sanctified. Hallelujah. I believe sanctification's an ongoing work. Oh, y'all didn't know you were gonna get theology this morning. Come on, somebody. Just playing, but everything stops, and so you search until you find your phone, because your phone is valuable to you. And anytime something is lost that's of value, you'll spend time looking for it. Have you ever lost your wallet? Or ladies, here we go, your purse. It's Armageddon when ladies lose their purse. I'm telling you, it's crazy. And so they'll search until you find your wallet or your purse, because it's valuable, it has value to you, and so you will search diligently until you find what was lost. Come on, are you following me? What about this? Have you ever lost the phone number of that special somebody you just met? No, not you, but back in the day. Back in the day when I was an OG. I'm just playing. But they used to give you a number on a little slip of paper. You know what I'm saying? Like, can I get your digits, girl? Can I get your... Y'all don't know. Don't even look at me. Ryan's up here looking at me like, really? Come on, man. Come on. You, like George Lopez, you member. You lose that thing, you'll be like throwing stuff. Where'd that go? Because it was valuable. Come on, man, y'all Jesus' second cousin. You don't even know what that means. Y'all too holy up in here. Come on, man. But you remember, you remember what that was like. What about this? Have you ever lost your keys? My God. And it always seems like you lose them when you really need them. Like, it's never convenient. Oh, I lost my keys, but I don't have to go anywhere for a week. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like you lose them right before you got to get somewhere real quick. And so... My family, the Green family, those of you who don't know, Pastor Terry, the lead pastor, is my dad. And so my family regularly lost their keys. And I was the baby, and so I began to find it humorous. I would see my mom and dad running up the stairs and running down the stairs and in the living room and out of the living room and going in the cars and looking in the glove box. I mean, they'd even look in the cabinets and in the refrigerator. Come on, somebody, you know. I don't know, it could have happened. Someone could have put them in. I don't know. And so it was humorous to me, and they were going to be late to an appointment, so they got to find their keys, and so they searched until they found their keys. And you know what that's like. It's an unsettling feeling when you lose something that is valuable. And so let me break it down a little further here. When I was about 6 years old, my family and I, a large group of our family and friends, went to Yosemite National Park, and we used to kind of vacation there sometimes, and so... They have a place, I think, called Curry Village or Yosemite Village. And so we would go there. You set your camp up, and then you can go there, and they have stores and stuff. You can buy groceries, whatever you need. So we went there, and I was about 6 years old, and I was with my dad and my uncle. And, you know, I was kind of a kind of a Dennis the Menace kind of kid. You know what I mean? I was just everywhere all the time, running, boom, like you know, like y'all seen The Incredibles, you know, that animated movie, The Incredibles. I was kind of like that kid, boom, just gone. Like they said, I used to run through ladies' dresses at work, boom, just. Yeah, I would. Like, I would, they said I would, when I was small, I would just run, and, like, people would just, like, get out of the way, and I would just go through. So I was quick, and I was curious and stuff like that. And so, and my dad knew this about me, but he was my uncle, and somehow I got away from my dad and my uncle. They were shopping or, you know, doing whatever they were doing. I got away from them. And so they started looking for me, and my uncle's kind of the calmer one, you know, so he's like, you know, Terry, it's going to be okay. We'll find him. And my dad kind of started to lose his cool after about 5 minutes. And so he started diligently looking for me and going everywhere. And so the store, you know, clerks there were kind of trying to help us look or whatever. And my dad saw these big walk-in freezers, and he goes, open these. My son could be in here. He said, sir. They said, sir, your son's not in here. These aren't open to the public. He said, you don't understand. You don't know my son. My son could be in there. And they said, sir, we can't open it. He said, today you can open it. And my dad was a large man, and so they conceded, and they opened the door, and I was nowhere to be found. And so 10 minutes passed, and 15 minutes passed, and 20 minutes passed, and my dad is freaking out, in and out, and running, and shouting my name, and looking for me. And yet all these people around were just leisurely taking their time, enjoying their day, eating ice cream, eating pizza, not a care in the world, yet my dad is frantic because his son is lost. And it became frustrating and disheartening to my dad to see other people who didn't care at all about his lost son. This is exactly how God the Father feels about Christians who are too busy eating their ice cream and eating their pizza, not concerned about lost people at their work and lost people at their school and lost people in their house and in their family because they're too busy trying to buy a bigger house and get a better job. And God's saying, wait a second, does anybody care about my lost kids? I need somebody to go after them. I know it's sobering. This is never maybe a preacher's favorite thing to preach on, but how many of you know it's needed? Come on, I said it's needed. We've got to be interested in lost people and going after them. And so this is vitally important as we kind of approach what God's going to be doing this week. So let's get the heart of God again, church, and let's go after his lost kids. And what do you mean? Because Jesus paid the price for every person to be born again. Amen? Every sinner, listen to me, look up at me. Sinners' sins have already been forgiven. They just have to receive the forgiveness that Jesus provided, and they will be born again. Amen. All right, here we go. So it's kind of like this. A lifeguard on duty sees a person drowning and doesn't throw them a life preserver because what if it doesn't work? Don't jump in because what if I can't save them? So I'm just going to stay here and watch them drown. That's kind of the same thing as a Christian seeing unsaved people around them going, I don't know if I want to talk to them. I don't know if I want to invite them to this Thursday because it might be uncomfortable, might not work. You got to get to the place where it doesn't matter if you think it works. You got to be willing to jump in and help somebody. Come on, somebody, man. You got to throw somebody a life preserver. Maybe this invitation can be a teenager's life preserver. Maybe they're drowning. Maybe they're addicted. Maybe they're on their way to hell. But a simple invitation could be somebody's miracle. Somebody ought to say amen. Here we go. Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. Matthew chapter 9. Verses 10 through 13. Now it happened that Jesus sat at the table of in the house, and many tax collectors and sinners, someone say sinners, came and sat down with him and his disciples. Isn't that amazing that sinners felt comfortable around Jesus? Sinners should feel like they can talk to you as a Christian. Sinners should want to be around Christians, because the love of God in us and the light of Christ in us is bigger than the darkness that is in them. Oh, my God. That's good stuff right there. And so when the Pharisees, you know who the Pharisees are? Religious church people. And here's what religious church people said. Why does the teacher Jesus sit with tax collectors and sinners. Because they're the one who need him. Come on, somebody. When Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Sometimes we get used to hanging around people who don't need the physician anymore. But Jesus said the whole reason you have the physician is to give him to people who are sick. Come on, there's sick people in your family. There's sick people, and I don't just mean physically sick. I mean spiritually sick, unsaved, don't know. Come on, there's sick people in your family, sick people at your school, sick people at your work, sick people in your neighborhood. And I'm wondering if there's anybody here that says, this week I'm going after some people who are sick so they can come in and meet the physician. Come on, somebody. Verse 13. But go and learn what this means. This is Jesus speaking. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners to repentance. Wow. Jesus said, the whole reason I came is to call sinners to repentance. The great commission of every Christian is to go into all the world. And I believe there's a commission on celebration. I'm believing for an evangelistic anointing to get on us to where this week we begin to pray for, we begin to go after teenagers and young adults and say, you know what, listen, I'm believing that sinners are going to come to repentance. I'm telling you, church, this is how moves of God happen. When people come together and say, this week I'm going to put some other stuff on hold and I'm going to go after some teenagers, I'm going to go after some young adults, and we're going to see a mighty move of God right here on Thursday. Wow. I love this. Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. And right before I read this, right before this is the story of, well, let me read this and then I'll get into that. Or what woman of you, this is Jesus speaking, what woman of you having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, someone say one. Yeah, lost things, lost people, lost, there's incredible principle here of truth. If she loses one coin, does not light a lamp. Someone say light a lamp. Sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it. Verse 9. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I lost. Verse 10. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Wow. So, right before this, Jesus tells the story of a lost sheep. And I may preach here just for a minute. I've been kind of teaching, but I may preach here just for a minute if that would be okay. If somebody wants to help your pastor out, you can kind of begin to help me. But there was a lost sheep, and the Bible says, Ryan, that he had 100 sheep. And one of them got lost. And the good shepherd didn't stay with the 99 who were found, but that he started looking for the one that was lost. And the reason why that is good news, church, is because you and I were the one sheep. Come on, somebody. Nobody in here wants to help me preach, but I remember when I was addicted. I remember when I was depressed. I remember when I was lost and couldn't find my way. And I am glad that Jesus didn't give up on me when I was in addiction. I'm glad he didn't give up on me when I was in depression. I'm glad he didn't give up on me when I was dirty, when I was filthy, when I didn't know what to do. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He came looking for me, and he says, I'm a very present help in time of trouble. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you in your weakest moment. I'll lift your feet up and put you on the rock. Is anybody glad that Jesus rescued you from your sin? Somebody ought to shout yes. There's a praise on the inside of everybody who's been rescued. Did you hear me, church? I said, there's a praise on the inside of everybody who's been rescued. Because I remember, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, where in the world would I be? And so there's a gratitude on the inside that says, I know the Jesus you're preaching about because he rescued me. So write this down. Rescued people rescue people. Rescued people rescue people. Saved people save people. Come on. You've heard it said that friends don't let friends drink and drive. Write this down. Friends don't let friends go to hell. That's some stuff right there. And so the Bible said that, you come on, you can begin to sense evangelistic currents begin to flow in here. that when there's an evangelistic anointing, all of a sudden you begin to think about, there is people I can talk to. There are people that I can invite. There are people that I can pray for right now, this week, and believe that their hearts are going to be open. Believe that their eyes are going to receive, their hearts going to receive, their eyes are going to see. There's this evangelistic current, because listen to me, church. The whole reason Jesus came is so that he could empower us to go save people who don't know him. This is it. This is the Great Commission. And we've got that opportunity this week. You have that opportunity every day. You can tell people every day what God has done for you. Some of the greatest bait that you have is telling others what Jesus did for you. All right, so here we go. So 99, but I'm going to go after the one lost sheep. And the Bible says the shepherd, there's a picture of Jesus bringing the one sheep that was lost back to the fold, back into safety. Watch, listen to this. This is amazing. I like this. You talk about heaven throwing a party. Check this out. Listen to this. Verse 7. I love this. What man of you having 100 sheep, when he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that he lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders. Come on, somebody. That's a picture of Jesus laying you on his shoulders. And when he comes, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Someone say lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 Christians who don't need repentance. Wow, man. The heaven throws a party when people who don't know Jesus all of a sudden receive the forgiveness of sins, receive Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm telling you, Thursday, we're about to have a party. Hallelujah. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. All right, last thing here. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. Through 18. Let's go to verse, I don't know if you have it, but could you go to verse 15 for me? If you have that, we'll just read these three verses and then we'll begin to shift. If they don't, it's okay. Here we go. Verse 16. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, all right. Someone say, all right. Here we go. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Someone say, repent and believe. That's what's going to happen Thursday. I said, that's what's going to happen Thursday. Come on, there's going to be an evangelistic anointing that comes up in here. We're going to see people saved. We're going to see people delivered. Come on, teenagers aren't just going to go to the club no more. They're not just going to party no more. They're going to give their lives to Jesus. Somebody in here, give God a shout of praise. Say, Pastor Jason, why are you so excited? You don't understand. You do not understand. Listen, I was at the gas station, and another guy came up to me and said, hey, Pastor Jason, I was just at this collective, and one of the lead guys at the collective said that he just spoke to, he's a chaplain for the police department. I had the opportunity to possibly be the chaplain at the sheriff's department, but this chaplain at the police department, talking about favor with God and man, all of a sudden he came to me and he said, we had a police officer tell us, I want to meet the pastor at Celebration Church. I got to walk that off. I got to walk that off. I got to walk that off. y'all, golf clap. Listen to me, man. When the police want to meet and connect with a church because of what God is doing in a church, that could be revival right there. That could be revival right there. But now let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. He said, we knew this kid, strong gang affiliation, in trouble all the time, picked him up, took him to jail a bunch of times. Lost. Come on, somebody. Lost. Causing trouble. Headed for the penitentiary. Cop was so blown away because he rolled up on this kid and he was walking with another guy. He said, where are you going? Because he was on the wrong side of town. And if you know anything about that kind of thing, if you're on the wrong side of town, it's dangerous for you. And so he said, where are you going? He said, officer, he said, I'm not about that life no more. Officer, I'm not about that gang life no more. I gave my life to Jesus. The officer said, where are you going? He said, I'm on my way to Celebration Church right now. I go there every week. I encounter Jesus. Somebody right now ought to give Jesus some praise. He's changing lives. And you know why that happened? You know why that happened? You know why lives are changed? You know why God's given us influence in a city? Because somebody chose to invite somebody. Listen, man. Here's what I know. As a church, part of our DNA is that we're going to invite people to church. We're going to go after lost people. We are not going to baby Christians. We are going to grow Christians up. We are going to nurture them. But one thing that you got to understand, if you're not growing as a Christian, and I'm just not happy, and the services just don't have the same punch. Normally, it's because you don't have any punch. Because when you first got saved, you could be in a church with 18 people, with a jacked up piano pushed in the corner, with a big old mic and an orange fluffy ball on top of it shoved down in it, and sing Amazing Grace in the wrong key, and tears flow down your face because you found out I once was lost, but now I am found. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching for a little while. Like, my God, it's lunchtime. Let me out, preacher. Let me out. Listen to me, man. All right, so I know I got to hurry, and I'm over time, but who cares? I'm just playing. Here we go. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and Andrew's brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Someone say fishermen. It's what you that. Listen, man, I'm prophesying over you this week. You're going to be fishermen this week. You hear me? You're going to be fishermen this week. You're going to forget about your 401k and how much money you're going to make, and if you're going to have a better house, if you're going to have a better life, you can have all that. God will give you all that, but you better delight yourself in the Lord. You better care about lost people. Come on, somebody. I prophesy over you, you're about to be fishermen this week. Jesus said, follow me. Someone say, follow me. And I will make you become fishers of men. Jesus said, one of the results of following me, Jesus, is that you will have a heart to fish for men who don't know Jesus. Now, men is unisex, men, women, children. Write this down, don't forget it. If you're not fishing for men, you might not be following Jesus anymore. There have been so many times, church, and I've seen, the Lord's allowed me to see, I don't even know how many people born again on the street. Lead me to walk up into a group of 10 gangster looking people. I'm like, God, if you don't help me, they're gonna kill me. They're gonna kill me. I'm white. I'm fragile. No, just come on, man. I didn't walk up in there. I didn't walk up in with Johnny, right? If I walked in with John, well, what's up, bro? What's up? What's up, homie? San Quentin. You know what I'm saying? San Quentin. What? Don't know me. I'm white, but I'm hard. I'm just playing. I'll tell you what though, I can run fast. Don't got to be the smartest. I just don't need to be the slowest. I'm just playing. I'm just playing. I'm like, Lord Jesus, help me now. If you don't come through, I'm going to die. But I walk up in there and the anointing of God come on me. And they're walking up into school. Hey, bro, we about to go smoke some weed. You want to smoke? I'm like, nah, bro. Nah. I said, but I do want to tell you about someone who changed my life. And I started talking to them and the anointing came on my head. All over me, and all of a sudden, all of them, they were cussing and, you know, talking about what they're about to go do, and all of a sudden, they just stop and start listening. You don't realize you're anointed. I say, you don't realize you're anointed. And whether it's handing out an invitation this week, telling someone you'll bring them, telling people about Jesus, what he's done for you, someone say, this week, you got to get to the point, you got to get to the place where you're tired of hearing about it and you want to get to a place where you start doing it. Because when you start doing it, that's where miracles happen. Listen to this. I feel anointing up in here. Listen to me, man. You don't see miracles when you're comfortable. You'll never see a miracle when you're comfortable. You always see a miracle when you get outside of you being comfortable in a place of faith where only God can meet you. All right. Immediately left and followed him. So Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I'm going to give you four things super quick because I'm already over time. Four things that you need to fish for men. Number one, time. Just give some time this week. Think about it. Who can you invite? Parents, you know other parents that have kids that are crazy. They're like the devil. No, I'm just playing. Bribe them, invite them, do what you got to do. Give them a ride, get them here. Young people, teenagers, young adults, invite somebody and come. Oh, by the way, I didn't even tell y'all this. There's a meet and greet with Eric Armstead where he's going to be signing his picture, signing autographs for the first 100 students that line up at registration. So bring your child, bring your student. They'll get some. I'm telling you, he's starting for the Niners. He'll probably be all pro next year if he stays healthy. And I'm telling you, it's a good thing. So come, bring him. Use that as bait. Someone say bait. Bring them, invite people. Students, invite other friends. Young people, invite other friends. Grandparents and grandpa, you know other grandparents, invite their kids. Get them here. Theos and Theas, come on, somebody. Invite your nieces and nephews. Right? Whatever you got to do, but you got to do it, man. You got to say now. Come on, say now. It's harvest time, church. Listen to me. Our weekends are growing. We got a big old crowd out in the lobby right now, too. Our weekends are growing. WordWorks is growing. Every area, it's harvest time for celebration. Listen, we want to get to the place where we get so good at doing this that we're dreaming about planting other campuses. Come on, somebody. About buying houses and putting sex trafficking victims in those houses and seeing them restored to the glory of God. Putting drug addicts in there, putting homeless people in there and seeing them restored to the glory of God. Come on, Matthew Barnett has them. Listen, he has drug addicts, prostitutes come in, be restored. Now they're on his pastoral staff. Come on, somebody. That's the gospel. Or rich people or Fortune 500 people. Come in. I have a use for your money. Hallelujah. It's like, it's called the gospel, the greatest cause on the planet. It don't matter, man. Listen, man. It doesn't matter who you are. I love it. I love it. We can have doctors sitting next to homeless people, sitting next to nurses, sitting next to carpenters, sitting next to contractors. But we're all in this thing together. Number two, effort. Someone say effort. Put some effort into it. Figure out how to do it. Buy somebody a meal, but get somebody here. Listen to me, man. This is not another event. I sense in my spirit we're going to see a move of God. Man, I'm not just saying that. I hope you're receiving in the spirit that I'm endeavoring to give it. Number three, bait. As I just said, use this as bait. Come on, anybody ever been fishing? Put a hook out there, you're not going to catch too many fish. But if you put some bait, that's why you don't go to be, hey, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're a sinner. You're a pagan. That's funnier than that, church. Come on, man. You don't go up to people that way. Just, hey, man, come check out this event. It's going to be good. I'll buy you a meal. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be an amazing party. And they'll come. Listen, I was at Alisal this week, and the anointing came on us. We're inviting people, and a bunch of group of guys are around us. We're talking to them and stuff, and you always got one. You always got the goofy one. You know what I'm saying? He's like, hey, bro, is there going to be chicks? Is there going to be hyenas? I was like, heck yeah, bro. You got to come, bro. You know why? Because I used to come for the highness, but God got a hold of me too. Come on, somebody. Y'all did the same thing. Y'all used to go to church. Is she saved? Is he saved? My God, look at him love Jesus. He's fire. Oh, my God. Everybody single, raise your hand. Everybody single, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Come on, raise them up. Look around. Get somebody's number. I'm just playing. All right, here we go. Number four, last one. Someone say prayer. Come on, start right now. Start today. Start praying for a couple of people that you'll invite. We got to get involved. It may not be your thing. It may not be your agenda. It may not be on your radar, but it's on God's radar. I said it's on God's radar. Listen, I just did the funeral of a student that came to 2SM. His whole family didn't know Jesus. But he came. Someone invited him. He came to 2SM. For a couple of years he came. And for a while he was a problem. It was a problem. But he kept coming. And he kept coming. Whole family, friends, full of gang activity. But he kept coming. And he went to camp with us 2 years ago. And I'll never forget, one night he came up to me and he was weeping. He said, Pastor, I don't know what this is, but I encountered Jesus. I feel him all over me.
He was weeping. He said, Pastor, I'm changed. I'm changed.
I didn't know that night. 2 years later, I'd get a call late at night. And he said, Kiki just got shot. And I was in shock. But I knew to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Look at me. I have all the confidence. He wouldn't be in heaven right now if somebody didn't invite him. Listen to me. Eternities hang in the balance. Will you be a part of somebody's miracle this week? You can do it. All it takes is a text, a phone call, a ride to church. But we can do this. Someone say together. Come on, bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. Secondly, see, you know what? I've known God, but I'm far from him. I need to come back to him. Count three, I want you to lift your hand, and we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. One, two, three. Lift them up. Thank you, 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 thank you. Hallelujah. Anybody else says, yes, that's me. Pray with me. Hands up all over the place. Thank you, Lord. Come on, everybody in this place, let's pray this prayer together. Say this. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. By your grace, with your help, I turn away from my old ways, from sinful ways, and I turn to you. In Jesus' name, help me to live for you. I commit to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.